Status Complicated, the podcast, is brought to you by Wingman VIP. Now, it's not a dating app. It's the hottest app on the market, providing mobile concierge services nationwide. With the press of a button, you can experience a VIP rock star lifestyle. VIP experiences from sightseeing to concerts to business networking are now available safely and stress-free, all at your fingertips. Now recruiting wingman nationwide, so visit wingmanvip.com, download the app, and sign up today.
Could we meet up and talk?
Yeah, I think we should.
Hey. Your hair's red.
Dev, I'm moving to Tokyo.
What?
If I don't do this now, I don't think I ever will.
Have you really thought this through? What are you going to do for work? You don't speak Japanese or anything.
I don't know. I'll figure something out. I don't want to wake up one day and wonder what would it have been like if I went to Japan. I always play it safe, and I can't do it anymore. The time in our life to do crazy shit is winding down, and I don't want to wake up one day and see that the window's already closed.
Hey people, welcome back to this week's episode of Status Complicated. As you can tell from our clip, Master None, we will be talking about bold moves, and my guest this week did just that, moving across the country to a whole new continent for the woman he loves. I don't think it gets more romantic than that, but I'll let him explain the good, the bad, and the next chapter in his life. This week we have Joel, who is our co-founder of the MI83 network, and he's also your host on Global Citizens and Made in 83. So Joel, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be on your show.
Yeah.
So I really like your show a lot. It's a pillar in MI83.
Oh, thank you. And I've actually never met Joel until today. So.
I know. It felt like I was meeting like my cousin or something like that.
I know. Probably good, because then I can ask you all these questions that, you know, someone that knows you wouldn't ask. This episode, I wanted to be about, I know that you're dating someone and kind of want to get the backstory of how you guys met. And then I know that you've moved for this person.
I have.
So I want to get into that. But let's kick it off talking about how you met.
I met her at one of my, I have a lot of best friends. So one of my best friends, he runs an organization. He's actually been on the Global Citizen podcast. It's a human rights organization. And he was having a film screening and I wasn't going to come. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, let me just go anyway. And I went and I was late. And I saw my now girlfriend, when I walked in, we kind of made eye contact real quick.
Okay.
And then I was like, all right, let me just watch this movie and see what happens afterwards. And then afterwards, we just kind of were talking, and we have never stopped talking since that day.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long ago was that day?
So it was 2 years ago. So our 2-year anniversary is at the end of this month.
Oh, nice.
But it was in March. It was on my... March 24th, I think, is when we met.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay, 2 years. And then you guys met at this event. So you're saying from that moment on, you like got her number, you started talking right away?
Yeah, well, you know, it's New York, so I got her number, and things were... It wasn't... I never planned, and she never planned for it to be a relationship. I think we just kind of were like, all right, let's just kind of date or just... whatever, hook up or something. And I think we were both surprised to kind of how it tailed off into this relationship. And it's been really nice.
What made you like her so much?
We have a lot in common, just in terms of like what, the word passion, I don't like to throw it around too much, but I know she's passionate about her work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we just had similar like trajectories in terms of what we did for careers. So that's what kind of sparked it right away. I also like the fact that she is, you know, in her own right, she's fearless. And I like the fact that we, even early on, we kind of like influence each other in a positive way. It's kind of like it felt like a tag team early on, you know? So I think that's what drew me to her a lot. And just, I feel like she's a bit younger than me. So, but the way when we first started dating, the way I saw her was the way I felt like I used to be. And then I became a little more conservative.
That's interesting.
And then being with her is just like refreshing again. It's like, all right, like she like helps me stay on course of doing things that I really like doing. You know, we travel together a lot. We, you know, when we travel, we don't really stay at resorts. We like stay in like kind of cool bungalows. It's just like, it's just a lot of fun, but not like, oh, this is fun. Like, but it's like fun and special. I said it.
Special. Well, it sounds like you have like a similar lifestyle, some like similar interests, hobbies. I mean, all the things that you want from someone.
Right. I mean, we are very different though, but there are a lot of similarities.
Right. I like the way you said that she made you like together. You already felt like a little team basically.
Right.
Like you guys were getting things done. She was motivating you.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, or like a friend of mine a long time ago said, I want to be with someone that, like, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2.
Yeah.
1 + 1 = 5.
But also sometimes, you know, I think you kind of, people get caught in their own heads of what they want in a person.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to think about what you want in a person. Like, you don't want to date a crackhead. You want someone who has goals. But sometimes it's just like, you meet people when you least expect it. Yeah.
Did you have any serious relationships before her?
I did. Well, not... So, we started dating in 2014. So, before that, I had lived in Haiti for a couple years working. And I was dating someone there. And that person was real cool. But I think early on, I knew it wasn't going to work out.
What gave you that hint?
She had a kid. And the kid was great, but when we were hang out, it would be like in settings with people with kids. And it was just like, I'm not ready for all of this.
Right.
And I was always thinking, I was just always ready to leave Haiti. Even though I'm from Haiti, I missed home so much. And I just, you know, when you know, you know.
Yeah. You have a feeling.
You have a feeling. And it's nothing against that person, you know.
Yeah, because sometimes I think when you ask people, that's a hard question sometimes. It's like, Why not this person? Like, on paper, that whole conversation that you have with people, on paper, this person's perfect.
Right.
But it's just, like, that feeling isn't there, whether it's a chemistry or either you have great chemistry, but just something doesn't feel right.
Exactly.
So you knew that early on. So she was a serious, someone that you dated seriously?
I mean, yeah, she was, yes. That I was dating someone seriously. And then when I came back to New York, it was more of, like, dating. It was more dating. And then one person I dated for, like, I think the first winter I came back. And, I mean, it was kind of serious, but not, it was always open-ended. And then it just ended. And then it was just dating. New York dating. You know how, you know, I mean, those of you who live in New York know what that's like. And you start to realize it just gets expensive for a guy.
Yeah.
It gets expensive.
Very expensive.
As, like... Even though there are more, like, progressive, powerful women who probably make more than I do, NGO worker, you always end up fronting the bill somehow.
I know. I'm always... That's actually been some of the questions I've asked. I'm like, all these people that go on these Tinder dates, like, how are you... How does this all work out? Or any kind of date, I should say. Like, is the guy always paying? Because that's super expensive. I mean,
it depends. Some of my friends are really good at saying, let's go half on the bill. I'm not, I was never good at that, you know?
Yeah, it's awkward.
I was never good at that. And after a while, I was like, this is stupid. And then especially the older you get, the more, I think for me, the older I got, the more I really cared about my work. And I was like, you know, okay, I went on this date. I'm in Midtown Manhattan. It's 11:30. I have to be at work at 8:30. I'm going to take a cab from Midtown back to Queens because, you know, the older you get, I need my 7 hours.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, right.
I like sleep everywhere. So, yes, I'm a big sleeper. And I feel the same way. It's like, I gotta go.
I gotta go home.
and sleep and, yeah. like, get... I need 8 hours, so your 7 is, like...
I mean, I would love 8 hours, but it's realistic for me. I mean, I can't... Sometimes I do, but 7 is the ideal number, but it's more, like, usually 6 and a half.
Yeah, I can't even function after that. Yeah, I'm like, no, 8 hours.
Yeah.
So we know why you obviously... We're drawn to her. Mm-hmm. You guys have a lot in common.
Oh, and she's beautiful.
Of course.
That too. That was the first thing, actually. And then after that, it was like, oh, okay, you're smart and stuff.
And you have similar interests.
Yeah, similar.
Did you guys live here together in New York, or?
We didn't live together, but we pretty much, you know, at least 3-4 times out of the week, we were together. She lived in Harlem. I still lived in Queens.
Got it.
So I was doing a lot of Queens... Harlem,
yeah,
those cab rides. If I look back to that credit card statement from 2 years ago, it was just a lot of $43 cab rides.
Jeez, that's how much it is?
Well, you know, you cross the bridge,
yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then, but did you guys start dating, become exclusive, like within 3 months of dating, like 5 months in, or was it just a natural thing?
It was kind of a natural thing, and I was kind of pushing it away. I think I didn't think I wanted to be in a relationship, and she was supposed to leave to go to Kenya. So we met in March, and she was going to leave at the end of that year. So that's 2014. So I was like, you know, I don't want to get involved with someone who's leaving. So let me just kind of take it for what it is. But then I was like, you know, I actually don't want to string this along. So I was kind of just trying to keep her at arm's distance. Mm-hmm. But what happens is when you're, you know, I think in New York, when you're dating multiple people, more than one, we'll put it that way, you know, you just start to realize the person you hang out with the most, that you're talking to the most, you know, you're cutting off other dates. You're like, okay, I mean something. But I always tried to keep her at arm's distance and clearly failed miserably at it.
And that's so interesting that you said that. That I think a lot of people sometimes go in dating someone being like, oh, I can't, I'm not going to take it serious. It's for right now.
Right.
And then it transforms into this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just life. You can't plan it out exactly how you want it.
You can't. And I also think for guys, you know, guys, we build walls. I think not all guys, I can't say that, but I think a large majority of men, they build walls, and it's just like, no, you can't penetrate this wall. And I actually give women credit, because women are able to bounce back a lot better than guys. Like, if a woman gets hurt, she's hurt, you know, she's devastated, but she can bounce back. A guy gets hurt, I guarantee you, if a guy was scarred by some girl when he was 15, to this day, he's just like, yeah, Becky Sue from the block, forget her. But
you know what's funny about that? Okay, there's the saying that men fall in love once or twice in their lives, right? And women fall in love anywhere from like 4 to 5 times, because they're able, and the whole theory behind it is that women are able to kind of bounce back. I mean, yes, they get very hurt, but men don't really explore that after a certain point, right? Like, where they're like, oh, I fell in love once, it didn't work out.
That one time,
and maybe I'll do it again. But past the second time, it's like, yeah, I'm probably not going to fall deeply in love.
Yeah, I think for the most part. But there are some guys, though, who are, you know, way more open to just opening up a lot easier. Guys, you know, most likely if a guy's been dumped, he can do 2 things. He'll just, like, let it out, cry maybe, or he'll just rage. He's like, I'm gonna get really drunk, I'm gonna, you know, hook up with all these women and get it out of my system. But, you know, I think sometimes it's good to just let your emotions out. If your emotions need to come out, let them out. And I applaud women, applaud.
Yeah.
You know, it's important. I think it's really important. And, you know, now as a man, I could look back and be like, wow, yeah.
That's probably what happened. It's because I also think, like you said, women let it out. They talk to their million girlfriends about the situation, hash it out in 10 different ways, versus a guy gets his heart broken. he'll probably tell his best friend what happened, and then that's about it.
This group, his circle. Yeah.
His circle. They don't really, be like, oh, well, how do you really feel that? You know, what are your feelings? And I think they bottle it in, so when you do that, it's just too hard to, move on easily.
Yeah.
So you were keeping her at arm's length.
Yeah. I even told her one time, and she always rubs it in my face. We were going out for dinner, and I can't remember how long it was. Maybe it was a month we were dating. And I was like, you know what? You know, I don't want anything serious. I just kind of put it out there. And she was like, okay, you know. Now she comes back and tells me, she was like, this asshole. She told me we went out to eat this really nice Indian restaurant. She was like, I was going to try and say, let's share a plate so you could save money. And then as soon as you said that, I was like, what am I going to eat? We laugh about it now, but I guess it was a defense mechanism and just really thinking that it wasn't going to be more than what it was.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's your way of making sure you don't get heartbroken.
Right. Because
if she's leaving at the end of the year,
That's what it was, really. It's one, a big thing, actually, yeah.
But by that time, I mean, March to December, so many months in between. Obviously, you guys fell in love.
Yes. So what happened was that she found a job, and she was leaving, to fulfill this fellowship, but she was able to defer the fellowship because she got a job in the same field of what she does. She works with refugees. And what happened was, the funny story is, she got a job where I used to work. So I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, and I didn't help her. I didn't put her in contact with anyone. And I remember when she got it on her birthday, and I was freaking out because I'm like, here I am kind of thinking, I'm in this weird place where I really like this girl now, but it's just a weird thing. She's about to leave, but now she's staying. All these things were happening so fast. It went from this is kind of temporary to I'm now staying. So it was kind of that protective glass wasn't there anymore, because the protective glass is well, okay, you're leaving, so we can kind of just go balls out with this. And then when you leave, it's over,
Yeah.
But now it's we're going balls. At this point now, we're fully into each other. And then she gets the job and she's staying. And I'm just oh my God.
So what does this mean?
What does this mean? It was a lot of, and now she'll be working here. It wasn't a bad thing, but I think it was just a lot happening at once.
So you would have been working together at the same time.
We weren't.
She
did get the job.
She did, and you were working there, or you had.
I was working there, and but we never worked together. We were just in the same space. It's a big organization, and
that's true.
But you see each other in the hallways. Yeah. She makes lunch for the both of us, and But at the time, it was just oh my God, oh my God.
I'm not a big fan of people, if I was dating someone, then they got a job, that would weird me out. And I had this conversation with a friend, because it was similar situation was going to happen, where he was going to go work at her organization,
mm-hmm.
and he was really weird about it. And then she took offense to it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm with him. It's odd, that's your personal space that you spend, 8 hours a day, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you add in a layer of, I'm dating someone. And what if it doesn't work? And then you got to see them all the time.
All the time, And I think all that was happening in a span. When she told me she got it, just in the span of 40 minutes, all these thoughts. And then she got it on her birthday. So it's just man, she's really happy.
Yeah.
Why am I being so weird? I mean, now in hindsight, I'm that's a great thing that she got to stay. And so even though we were continuing to date, there still was that elephant in the room of in a year, I am going to take this opportunity to go to Kenya,
Got it.
And that was always there, but then we just kind of stopped thinking about it for a little bit.
You said that she's younger than you by a lot or by?
By a significant amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so that's something different.
It is different, and that was also kind of what held me back as well. Because usually I would always advise my friends or cousins not to date someone younger than you, and then here it is thrown in my face.
But why? Because I feel like actually guys tend to date younger.
I think so. Where I and so in Kenya now, I guess in Africa in general, guys do date younger. It's like a thing. I think for me, it's just like, you know, I think about when I was younger and how like whacked out I was, and you know, women are a lot more mature than men. But I guess that's the main thing. Just thinking back to me from personal experience, what I was like, how indecisive I was, just thinking, you know, how can this person be ready
to be in this type of relationship? Yeah, that's true. But I do think women are more, like you said, more mature and more interested in being in those longer term relationships at, like, I don't know, at age 25 versus
right.
The guy at 25 is like, yeah, I'm not ready for all this.
No, not at all. But
so that makes sense. Okay. And then how, so now that you stayed for a year, an mm-hmm. extra year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, it was like, I'm just going to let my guard down and let her in? Or?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what started happening, even though it was like a gradual letdown of the guard. And it was just kind of the realization of like, wow, I'm starting to fall in love with this person. The realization and then realizing it and getting mad at myself for falling in love with someone who I didn't think I could fall in love with, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, what happened, Joel? And then, you know, consulting friends,
yeah.
And some friends were for it. Some friends were like, be careful. But most friends were like, you know, you can't deny how you feel. And I remember there was one night, you know, I had a gift for her, and I felt really weird about giving it to her.
Mm.
And then I had a conversation with my friend about it, and he was just like, man, just do it. And then things just really started to pick up. I mean, I was already sure of my feelings, but, you know, I think the way I am, and just also probably being a guy, you put up a little bit of a front.
Yeah. Were you not sure how she felt? Or you knew all along how she felt?
There was a short phase of if I knew how she felt. But then, you know, the more you spend time with someone
yeah.
and you just feel the energy, I guess. And
so the question about whether she wanted to be serious with you wasn't really there.
I think it was, for a short period, it probably, I was like, does this person want to be serious with me, you know? But it wasn't for long. It wasn't drawn out. But, it, you know, I can't actually remember how long it was. It could have been a week, could have been a month.
Yeah.
But for that, however long it was, I was like, wow, what's going on?
Yeah. You felt kind of uneasy. Yeah. And, like, what's happening?
You know, vulnerable.
Yeah.
No person, especially a guy, again, likes to feel vulnerable. But I do think, though, I give myself a lot of credit in terms of, like, 33-year-old Joel, it's my age, versus, like, 25-year-old Joel, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's a big difference.
And being able to be, like, analyze that and be like, okay, this is why you feel this way. What are you going to do?
Right.
So now it was, like, set in stone that she was staying longer to work, and then we're just like, you know, we're, like, official boyfriend and girlfriend.
By the way, how did you do that, the official? Do you just, like, do you one day call her your girlfriend and that's how she knows she's your girlfriend? Or is it more formal?
So, no, I asked her. The day I gave her her gift, I asked her. And then she goes, she tells me, I'm going to give you a week to think about that question. Because before we were so much, both of us were like, you know, this is just, it is what it is. And then here I go on the complete opposite
end.
What
was this gift?
I gave her a bracelet.
Oh, okay.
I gave her a bracelet.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then...
Wait, was this like a bracelet to ask her out?
It was a bracelet just to give to her because I wanted to give to her. It wasn't like, I'm asking you out. But I gave it to her and I think I was just going with what I felt.
Right.
And she was like, all right, I'm going to give you some time to think about that. But then 2 weeks later, I took her out and we were just having a good time, you know. I think we went to sing karaoke or something.
Oh,
nice. And then just enjoying each other. And then she was like, that question you asked me, she was like, forgot how she phrases, like, do you still mean it? And I was like, yeah, I do. And then from there, then it was like official. But I mean, I think it was official long before that. Yeah. But that's like date, if you want to put a date to it.
Yeah, but I think that people feel like oh yeah, we've been like hanging out for a long time. Right. Yeah, he's my boyfriend. Have we ever talked about it? No. So sometimes I feel like you have to like just have that moment of like check. Like I feel this way, you feel this way. Yeah. Like I'm not going and I'm, you know, introducing you to like, I don't know, my coworkers as my boyfriend. And like they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like what just happened? So I'm always curious how that happened.
Yeah. No, this was, you know, it was pretty formal-ish.
It's cute.
It's like, you know, it's it was official.
I like that. When did you feel like, okay, I really love this person. I'm going to tell them that.
So, when did I tell her? So.
Or did she tell you?
I told her first. For work, for the type of stuff I do, I travel quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I used to travel a lot for work for my last job, where I would travel to the Congo for like, you know, 6 weeks at a time. So I had to go, in September, I want to say, or August for the first, it was like 6 weeks I had to be away.
Wow.
And,
wait, that's really hard for a relationship.
Yeah, it sucks, actually, for a relationship.
Yeah, like, how did you guys...
It was, like, 5 weeks or 6 weeks, but it was, like, a significant amount of time.
Were you guys, like, FaceTiming or, like,
Skyping. Okay. Before I left, I told her that I loved her, and she said she loved me back. Yeah, it was pretty nice. It's pretty nice.
Did you know that you were going to say it, or it just came out?
I had wanted to say it before, because we had went on vacation somewhere.
Oh, okay.
And I was just kind of, I just held back. I was like, maybe I felt like it wasn't the right time, or just, you know, I think it's funny, when you're in the early stages of a relationship, or even dating, there's always this game between two people. You know, I can't speak for people that are in, you know, I can't speak for, like, gay couples, but I know heterosexual couples, there's always this game of power dynamic. Mm-hmm. Who likes who more?
Yeah.
Who loves who more? Maybe, yeah. You know, I don't know if it's the man and the woman that do this. And I think early on, I was trying to, like, clutch on to something. Now I don't care. I mean, there is just... But at the time, it was just like, I didn't say it. We had a really nice vacation. We went to Shelter Island.
Oh, nice.
It was really nice.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us. It was like our first vacation. Now you like go everywhere. I guess I waited till before I left.
Because you realize I'm gone for a long time.
Gone for a long time. And, you know, she should know how I feel. I mean, yeah. I think she knew.
I wonder if she was like, I'm sure you guys have talked about this now, but she probably wanted to say I love you too around the same time, and you both were holding back.
Yeah, I'm sure she was waiting for me to say it.
It's so interesting because is it really on the guy to say? The same thing like we were talking about, just like in a simple, like who pays the bill, now right. Who says I love you, mm-hmm. Like it's these weird dynamics or like society kind of putting down like the pressure on like who's responsible for what.
Society. Yeah.
Well, I would think so because I think she feels like, oh, he should say it. But
I think it's all about protecting oneself. Right. I think people are always like, you know, what if I say it first? What is this person going to think of me?
Yeah.
What if they don't say it back?
Oh, well, I think it's also, to your point, being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like people not wanting to go there.
Yeah.
And just feeling like I just said it and like, you know, those million movies, romantic comedies that we've seen when like they say it and the person doesn't say anything back.
Yeah.
And you're just like, painful.
A friend of mine's currently in a relationship and they told me that I'm using they so no one understands anything. Just
good. Keep it vague.
That they said that their partner or person told them that they love them.
Okay.
And then they responded, I forgot what they told me, how they responded, but the response was just like, you know, it was just,
that's so hurtful.
It's hurtful, but what do you do? What if you don't feel the same way? Or, like, do you lie?
No, you shouldn't. No. I think that would not be good because then you're definitely leading them on.
Yeah.
And to believe something, like, that's huge, right? Like, that's not something you can just be like, that's not a white lie. That's
no.
Like a, that's like.
Because usually when someone says it, usually, and then the barrage of I love you comes out. It's like, there's always I love you, love you, love you. You know, it's just.
You let the gate open,
and it's just like, wow, this is a lot. And it's dangerous when you say it and you don't mean it, because it's just going to be coming at you.
But I feel like for that person that you know that said this, or whoever said it,
mm-hmm.
and the other person just said something that was like, no, I don't feel that way. Like, what do you do there?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess to me, that's like, all right, so I guess we're done. Like,
pretty much. It's like, it's just a lot. Because even if you tell that person, like, you come up with whatever, some spiel, what's it going to be like afterwards, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. That's why when I hear about it, and I'm going off romantic comedies here, but I've seen, like, a lot of people say, like, oh, I love you, and the other person's like, yeah, and then, like, they go on and do something else, like, unrelated to make it unawkward or whatever.
It's also building up, and you just want it to come out of you.
Yeah.
It'll come out of your ears if you don't say it.
Yeah, like, randomly. Just like, but that's why I said, did it just come out randomly? Because I think people hold it back so much.
No, when I said it, it was, like, climactic. It was, like, I was leaving,
and
it was like, I love you. But, yeah.
Very quick. I love you, bye.
Yeah, bye. Go, love you, bye.
Close the door.
Yeah.
Gotta go, bye. But, yeah, so that's always so interesting and sad when people don't say it. But I guess at the end of the day, you have to say it and know whether that person loves you or not. Because you got to know whether to move on or not.
And it was also, like, a timing thing, you know? You don't know
when
you should say it, when it's too long, yada, yada.
I know. Well, okay, let's fast forward
to
you. So now you guys have said, I love you.
Yeah.
Well, we covered when she became your girlfriend, I love you. You were leaving. You travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming up to her eventually having to move for this job.
Right.
I want to know how you got to the point
of,
okay, I'm going to make this move.
So I was thinking, you know, like, okay, I'll move to the region, not necessarily Kenya. And then...
Is it because Kenya seemed too hard to move to?
Just, I think... Maybe a bit of fear of living together, of moving to another continent for another person, you know?
Yeah.
But didn't, like, question how I felt about her. I knew how I felt about her, but I think it was just like, all right, you know, you're going to move to a place you've never been to.
Right.
And just thinking about, like, my background, my skill set, I speak French, so it'd be easy to go to, like, a Francophone country, easy to get a job there. So I started thinking about the region. And, you know, I've lived in hardship posts already. So when I was in Haiti, for example, and, you know, Haiti is not a hardship post. But if you go to, like, rural Haiti where I was, now that's a hardship post. And I remember, you know, I'm from New York. I like looking fly. You know, I like it when my sneakers match my fitted hat. It's just, I want to go somewhere where I could just live normally.
I love that. Awesome.
And I'm looking at some of these posts. I'm like, do I want to move to South Sudan? I'm like, no.
Wow.
So a post came up with the organization we were both working for in Kenya. And I was like, you know what? I'll apply. And I applied and I interviewed. And I made it to the final round.
Nice.
But then I didn't get it.
Aww.
But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to move to Kenya. I'm going to move to Kenya no matter what. Like, I really want to be with this person. So it wasn't working out between me and my job. It was just mutual separation. So now I was moving to Kenya with no job.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's even a bolder move, right?
Bold as hell.
Bold as hell. I like that. Just because already people just even moving across, like, San Francisco to New York won't do it without a job. You know what I mean? And you're moving to Kenya. But you have a great background. I mean, you're obviously in the NGO space.
Yeah. That's, I guess it was part of my planning, but I kind of wanted to take a step back from the NGO world. And then, so I end up saying, okay, we're doing this together. And then she gets a temporary post in Iraq. So my ticket's bought.
What?
And then she's like, hey, I got a temporary assignment in Iraq. So I moved in March. We were going to move in March. She was going to go first. And then I ended up going first. So I'm in Kenya.
By yourself.
By myself. And she's in Iraq. So she was in Iraq for 6 weeks. So, okay. I mean, she was coming. Like, she wasn't like,
yeah, oh. It wasn't like 3 months later.
She wasn't like, actually, got him. I'm not coming. It wasn't like that. Yeah. I've been horrible.
You're like, wait, I'm here. What do you mean? Yeah.
I've already moved all my stuff. Said goodbye to everyone. So I was there first, and then she came, and it was great.
That's a funny turn of events. It's like, you were moving for her. You already bought your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, wait a minute, I'm not even going to be there before you.
Right, yeah.
Set us up, please.
I know. Set us up. Shut up shop. And then I remember when I bought my ticket to move to Kenya, I got like that the trip insurance for $42. I'm like, just in case, I want to back out of this one. But I wasn't going to.
That's really funny.
Yeah, and then it's worked out. I mean, I found a job and...
you did.
I did. Things have happened very quickly. It's just... crazy, but just kind of going with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what a lot of people say. It's like, you just do it. And if that's what you want, like, the world will come together to make it happen.
You just do it. And, you know, as I try to let people know in, like, my podcast, like, Kenya is really cool. Nairobi's great. It's like a legit city. So that made things easier as well, even though I'd never been there. But being there, being able to, like, really navigate around and just... do things and
wait, you know. How long have you been there now?
So, I mean, I'm back, but it's been, I moved at the beginning of March and we're mid-May, so like 3 months.
Oh, okay. So that's good.
Yeah, but you know, I've hit the ground running, like I have a job. So I know what it's like to like work a full 9-to-5 job there. And
that's so crazy that you found a job so fast. It's insane. Awesome. It's like perfect that you got there, you did what you needed to do, and it just, like, came together.
It came together. So far, it's been really cool.
And then you're living together.
We are living together. That's new.
It's big.
It's
huge. How's that going?
It's going well. We got a 2-bedroom apartment, just in case, you know. Just in case she got to go in the other room. No, but it's been really cool. It's been that, and that's totally new for me.
Right.
You know, like,
and
I've
for
never.
Her.
I think it's new for her too.
Yeah.
I
mean, just living with someone like, not only did you guys move like to a whole nother continent together.
Right.
Which, you know, the culture and whatnot, the weather, so
everything,
many factors
yeah.
that are so new. Then you move in together for the first time.
Yeah.
Granted that in New York, you guys were obviously spending, like, you know, all nights and days together, probably.
Right.
But it's totally different. People will tell you. I think it's totally different.
Of course it's different, you know.
It's like you're sharing, you know, the space for your toothbrushes.
Everything. And, you know, also when you're dating someone in any city and you aren't living together, or even if you are, it's like, okay, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. I'll see you later.
Right.
Here, it's just like, I'm going to go hang out with you. Because you know we have each other's back. That's it. We do everything together. Rarely do we like, you know, if you know she goes to the gym or I go, you know, rarely do we do things without each other. And you know, we haven't gotten sick of each other. I hope she hasn't gotten sick of me. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's
if she has, it's too bad.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
No, I think it's good. I mean, it's been 3 months. You're,
mm-hmm.
like, happy.
I am.
You seem very happy.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you guys have a good groove. And I also think it's good for your relationship if you're the only two that you have over there. Because you're doing everything together.
We are.
And growing in a relationship, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not, like, it sounds like it's going well. Most people that sometimes when they move in, like the first 3-6 months, they say it's a nightmare.
No, it hasn't been a nightmare. It's been pretty cool. You know, I think like I was saying before, if someone's lacking something, the other person seems to be good at it.
Yeah.
And we can kind of like balance it out so far.
It's good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It hasn't been like she's super, like she's a clean freak.
Oh, she is a clean freak. And some of our arguments are because, you know, I leave my shoes in the middle of the living room. But, you know, with time, it'll be fine.
It's not anything where you would have already known this, is what I mean. There would have been signs if you guys had drastic habits that were going to impede you from being together. You would have known that.
Yeah, no. None of that.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. And most... Mm-hmm. Although you only dated for like a year and a half and then moved in.
Yeah. So that's what it feels like it's been so much longer. So like I was saying, the end of the month makes 2 years. But I guess we spent a lot of time together. We worked together. So I don't know. I think this is a good sign in relationships. When you don't think about time, I think you should know that you're onto something. In a lot of relationships that I've been in, I don't want to say a lot, but in the relationships I've been in that it hasn't worked out, you'd be like, I've been with this person for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. You know, we've been together 7 months. It's like...
And 22 yeah, hours.
Yeah. That's how I feel sometimes. I'm like, okay, someone's on the fence. Not a bad thing. But like, I don't think about time. You think about time when it comes up. It's like, oh, wow. Like...
Well, it's kind of in a weird... Like, unrelated to love, but when you're at work and if you're constantly looking at the time, it's like, oh, it's 12 o'clock. Oh, now it's 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Oh, now it's 3 o'clock. And, like, all you're waiting is for it to be the end of the day. It's like, you obviously aren't doing something that's, like, you know, you're passionate about. No. Or, like, you
probably
know.
Don't like what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Versus, like, oh, this, you know, the day flew by and, like, I was doing whatever. I think that's a really good takeaway.
Yeah. Just talking to other people who are in relationships, and when they say we've been together for X amount of time, but like it hasn't been a year yet, when you keep talking about months,
yeah,
I think, you know, there's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, I know. I like that. So then now it's what's the plan? You guys are going to be there open-ended?
For now. Yeah. It's kind of open-ended, but there is kind of like a time, okay, we're going to wrap things up. But we're here. We're there for now, at least, you know, there for at least a year. We could be there for a little bit. Like I was saying, I think both of us are very close to our families, where we would want to be closer. But right now, this is really cool for us. And then, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I mean, so far, it's been really nice. And even like apart, I mean, I've been in New York for a week. Mm-hmm. I go back Sunday. I mean, we don't have to date things here, but I go back soon to Kenya, and it's like, normally when I would travel, I'd be like, and I'd come home, I'd be like, oh, I'm so happy to be here, and I don't want to leave. I'm happy to be here, but I'm ready to go.
Seems like you guys have a good groove.
Yeah, great groove, and we're both leading interesting lives.
And doing what, like, she loves, it sounds like you're doing what you love.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing what she loves. I really like what I'm doing right now. It's new.
Still what are you
new.
Doing?
So I'm working for an NGO that does media work. They train journalists to get important information out to vulnerable communities. So it's really combining two things I like. Well, the one thing I like, media, and also just using my skill set in terms of what I've been doing for a while now.
Yeah, your podcast. This is great.
So far, outer spirit is following me, I'm thanking that outer spirit. Thank you. I'm thanking her.
I love that. Well, for those that haven't listened, Joel has an awesome podcast called Global Citizens. It's on the MI83 network. You can find it, and like, he can talk about the different things that he's doing in Kenya or where he's traveling. And I think it's a really good place to go for more information about just what's going on in the world. And as you can see, Joel has some great insights. Uh-huh. Thank you, Joel, for sharing your story. I love it. I think it's really a hopeful story.
Thank you very much.
For love.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joel. And that ends our episode this week, all about bold moves. But something I learned is that it's not necessarily about the big move, like going to a whole new country for the person you love, but it's those small moments often that are overshadowed, like finally letting your guard down, being vulnerable, saying I love you. All things that involve taking a leap of faith and seeing where things go with no guarantees. And maybe that's why trip insurance is needed. you know, just in case, as Joel would say. But in all honesty, it's one of the many reasons I really enjoy talking to Joel. He isn't afraid to keep it real and bring some jokes into emotional moments, like having your heart broken by that Becky Sue, to sharing his real struggles with letting his guard down. But in the end, he ignored that protective wall, busted some moves to Kenya, all while showing us how it's done. So make the move, say I love you, stop hiding your feelings. However that rings true in your life, we all need a push, and sometimes it might be that person we've kept at arm's length.